Well, good morning and welcome to Journey Church. Today what we're going to do is we're going to begin a brand new series. So up to this point, you have perfect attendance in the new series. So give yourself a high five, okay? So anyway, this morning what we're going to do is we're going to begin this new series called Love Like That. And just want to let you know a lot of the thoughts that I'll be sharing in the next 5 weeks come from this book by Dr. Les Parrott. It's a New York Times bestseller called Love Like That, and the subtitle is Five Relationship Secrets from the Life of Jesus. So I just want to give you a heads up in advance that a lot of my thoughts will be, they don't originate with me, they come through the reading, and then I make them personal, make them yours. So I just want to encourage you that a lot of the thoughts will come from that book. And what we're going to do in this series is we're going to look at five distinct qualities from the of Jesus, his love for other people, that we're going to be able to put into practice, and we're going to put these aspects, these qualities of love into practice with family members, with friends, with co-workers, yes, even strangers. So I want to give you just a little heads up at the very beginning of this series as we start. I'm going to give you a heads up, and that is to say that this series is going to have the potential to transform your life, okay? And I know we say that a lot, but we mean it every time we say it. This series on relationships is going to have the potential to change your life. And here's why I say that, because I have found out through years of living that relationships are really the biggest part of our lives. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that when relationships are going well, our lives go well? Have you noticed that when our relationships are being challenged? How many people know that impacts the quality of our life overall? So what we're going to do is we're going to tackle this issue of relationships together, because it impacts so much of who we are. I mean, we're constantly living in relationships with those in our house, our coworkers, friends, and we just want to get this right. And I want to let you know there's times that I speak out of strength, but there's also times that I speak out of weakness. And I want to let you know today is one of those days where I'm going to be speaking out of a weakness in my life. But how many people know that God's at work in all of us? None of us are perfect. We're all on a journey. That's why I love the name of our church, Journey Church, because it really says something important. It says that, yes, all of us here today, we all have a story. That's what I love about people. Every person you can sit with could sit down and tell you their story, their journey, how they got to where they are today. And the cool thing is, in our journey, man, we're all at work. We're all a work in progress, aren't we? So look at your neighbor and you can say, hey, you're a work in progress. Make sure it's somebody you came with, okay? That would be weird if it was, yeah, I don't know you, but you're a work in progress, okay? It would be true, but it would be weird, okay? And we don't want to be too weird, especially if it's somebody's first Sunday. Wow, they told me I'm a work in progress. Well, join the crowd. This is a work in progress. And here's what I love. This theme verse for this series is actually taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And this verse that we're going to read comes out of the Message. And I want to let you know the Message is not a translation. It's a paraphrase. It was actually written by a guy named Eugene Peterson, who was a grandfather, and his goal was to write a paraphrase that his grandchildren could understand. So I understand this isn't a translation, but it's a paraphrase. But I love how Eugene Peterson translated this verse. He said this. He said, observe how Christ loves us. So he says, stop and look how Jesus loved us. And then he goes on to say, his love was not cautious, but Jesus' love was extravagant. How many people are thankful that Jesus' love wasn't cautious? Come on, aren't you glad he wasn't facing the cross saying, oh, that's going to be painful. Oh, that's going to hurt. That's going to cost me my life. No, that wasn't Jesus. He wasn't cautious with his love. He was extravagant. The verse goes on to say, Jesus didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. So I'm going to just say this at the very beginning of this series. All of your relationships, the quality of all your relationships will increase if you just practice this one thing. If you'll practice the fact that you're not in a relationship to get, but you're in a relationship to give. How many people know that will send your relationships through the roof? Okay? If you just say, my mindset is not to get, but if I make my mindset that I'm going to live and love that person to give, I'll tell you what, the quality of your relationships will soar through the roof. And then he concludes by saying this, love like that, meaning love like Jesus. By the way, that's at the bottom of all your information sheets this morning. I put it there purposely so you can take that home and you can memorize that verse, look at it throughout the week, okay? So what we're going to do for the next several weeks, we're going to learn how from God's word how we can do that, just love like that, how we can be extravagant, not cautious, how we can love to give, not to get. And what we're going to do is we're going to learn to love like Jesus loved. And I tell you what, if that happens, some great things are going to happen. So what we're going to do today is we're going to begin our journey, and we're going to begin our journey in kind of an unusual way. And what I want to do, we're going to watch a video that's only 1 minute long. And I say that because you better get in right away. You can't daydream here. It's only going to be 1 minute long. And in the video, it's going to ask for your involvement. Don't worry, it's not out loud. It's not where other will see. It asks for your involvement, okay? So I want you to get engaged with the video. It will be very, very helpful for what we're going to talk about this morning. So Mark, when you're ready, I want everybody to direct their attention to the screen, and we're going to watch a video that you may have seen in school. So let's watch the video together.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Go!
Okay, that's perfect, Mark. Thank you so much. So, by the way, how many people have seen that video before, or some form of that before, so you weren't caught off guard? How many people that was the very first time you've seen that? Were you surprised? So what's the point of the video? The point of the video is actually pretty simple, and that is to show us that we're not attuned to our environment as much as we think we are. In fact, we often can miss out on what's right in front of us. Is anybody aware of that? You can miss out on something right in front of you. And it's a scary thing because we as humans are prone to missing what should be obvious. Amen? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you're in relationships, you've probably seen this. Something should be obvious, but you're prone to miss it. And actually, researchers have, where am I at here? Actually, researchers have called this perceptual blindness. Have you heard that terminology before? This means that we can see without observing. You see something going on, but you're not really observing. In other words, because of a lack of attention, we become blind to what's going on right there in our plain sight. We should see it, but we're so caught up in other things, caught up thinking about other things, doing other things, that we totally miss out. And make no mistake about it, we're all vulnerable to this. I mean, it's a big part of all of our lives. We're all vulnerable to this kind of blindness. There's things going on all around us, even in our homes with those closest to us, even here in church, even in our workplace with our closest of friends. There's things going on in people's lives, and you think that we should see it, but we're so preoccupied with other things that we totally miss it. So what I want to do right now, we're going to do something very unusual. We've never done this in church before, and what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about this is how we're going to overcome this. We're going to talk about being mindful. So everybody say this together, mindful. Because really that's how we're going to overcome this whole idea of perceptual blindness. We're going to be, our goal in week one is we want everyone to be more mindful in their relationships, okay? So what's it mean to be mindful? Let's look at a couple definitions. First of all, mindful means to be conscious or aware of something. That means you're mindful. A mindful person is a person who's watchful. They have their eye out for what others are missing. They see what other people don't. So that's a big part of what we're after today. Our goal is at the end of this service, our goal is as you go into your week, that you're going to be more mindful in your relationships. You're going to be more aware of things that are going on in people's lives that are right in front of you, things that you may have missed last week or you've missed before. Our goal is, hey, let's become more mindful of what's going on in other people's lives. By the way, Jesus Christ was the epitome of mindfulness. Do you understand that? He was the epitome of mindfulness, okay? It says in the Gospels over 40 times, it says this word, Jesus saw, meaning he was mindful. He saw things that other people did not see. And usually as a response of his mindfulness, he responded with compassion. So he saw things in other people that all those around him didn't see, but Jesus saw. And when he saw it, we see that he was moved with compassion, okay? So what we're going to do today is we're going to read a great story that illustrates this so beautiful. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 is a beautiful story that illustrates how Jesus was mindful. Luke 19, if you don't have a Bible, it's going to be on the screen. Because there's things happening all around in our spouses, in our kids, in our co-workers, in family, friends, strangers. There's things going on, and we don't even realize it. We don't even see it. We don't see the hurt, the pain, the struggles, the what people are going through, and we're going to change that, okay? So let's read this about Jesus, how he was mindful. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. It says, Jesus entered Jericho, and he made his way through the town. Verse 2, there was a man there named Zacchaeus. It tells us that he was a chief tax collector in the region, and we're told that he had become very rich. By the way, he became rich at their expense because he was a thief. He was hired by the Roman government to collect taxes. So they would say, hey, go collect $100 from everyone. And what Zacchaeus would do is he would collect $120, and he'd give the Roman government the $100, but he would pocket the $20. And how many people know if you do that time after time after time, you become very wealthy? Don't try it, by the way, okay? I'm just saying. So here we go. Verse 3, we're told he tried to get a look at Jesus. Everybody was. Jesus was the talk of the town, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Verse 4, he comes up with a plan. So he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass his way. Verse 5, when Jesus came by, I love this. He looked up at Zacchaeus. He was mindful of what other people weren't. He looked at Zacchaeus, and check this out. He called him by name. That's incredible. He said, Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. And I think everybody was shocked. Everybody was surprised, including Zacchaeus himself, that Jesus was saying, hey, I want to make a house call. I want to come and be with you. Let's read the next verse. Verse 6, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement, with great joy. Verse 7, but the people were displeased. The people weren't happy. They weren't happy. They said this. They said, he has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Verse 8, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And Lord, I have cheated people on their taxes. I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to your home today, for this man has showed himself to be a true son of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those that are lost. Verse 7 is an important verse. The people were upset. And the reason why the people were upset, because when the people saw Zacchaeus, they didn't see him the way Jesus saw Zacchaeus. When the people saw Zacchaeus, they saw him as a thief. He was a hated person in that culture. Nobody wanted to be by him. He was alone. So they saw him as like one of the enemy. They saw him as somebody that was ripping him off or ripping them off. So they didn't like Zacchaeus. Nobody wanted to be around him. But when Jesus saw Zacchaeus, he saw somebody, and he saw him with a mindful eye, and he saw somebody that was hurting. He saw him as somebody that was empty. And it's really an incredible story, is that Jesus was able to see Zacchaeus in a different light than everybody else saw Zacchaeus. By the way, aren't you thankful that Jesus sees you in a different light than a lot of other people see? Amen? Just me? Okay, I'm so thankful for that. So anyway, it's an amazing story because it's one of the most dramatic conversion stories in the Bible. And it all comes down to the fact because Jesus was mindful. It was all down to the fact that Jesus was able to see Zacchaeus in a different light than everyone else. He saw what other people didn't because he was being mindful. And here's the deal. Mindful people see things in people, others, that everybody else misses. And it happens everywhere we go. It happens right in our families. It happens with our friends. There's things going on in their lives. Believe me, I know this. And we don't see it because we're so blind. What keeps us from being mindful? What keeps us from not seeing what's going on in other people's in their lives? Some of the people that are right closest to us, we frequent contact. Actually, the writer of the book, Love Like That, Les Parrott, says it really comes down to one word. And the word is this. Everybody say that together. Agendas. That's what keeps us from being mindful. We all have one of these. How many people are agenda people? The reality is we're all agenda people. Okay? Everyone has an agenda all the time. See, he says this, your agenda is really nothing more than your immediate goal. We all walk through life with immediate goals. That includes what we want to do. That includes what we want to feel. That includes what we want to talk about. And I want to let you know, our agenda can be a very, very powerful, powerful force. It's like many of us are like these executives running these big-time board meetings, and we don't want to veer away from our agenda because we're afraid if we get away from our agenda, then we won't really get anything done. We won't reach our goal, okay? So does that make sense? But here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is we all have the ability, if we'll take it, we all have the ability at any time in our lives to press the pause button on what we want. We have that ability to press the pause button, and that's the moment where we just say, hey, I'm going to step aside from my agenda, because I do have an agenda today, and I'm going to just hit the pause button, and I'm going to be intentional about being mindful. And see, that's the moment that we make room to love like Jesus. When we say, okay, I have things I want to do, but Lord, right now you're prompting my heart to be mindful, to step aside from my agenda, and it's at that moment we make room for love. But here's the problem. The problem is this word right there. Somebody want to say that for us? Egocentrism. That's the problem. And basically what this is the inability for us to even stop and to realize that other people also have needs. See, in the normal humdrum of our lives, it's easy to become incredibly self-absorbed. It's so simple. I mean, we're consumed with what we need to do or where we need to be. If we're not intentional, it becomes like second nature. It's so simple, okay? We become so self-absorbed. We become so detached from others that all we think about is ourselves. I mean, there's things going around all around us, people, but all we think about is that person in the center. All we do is we think about ourselves. It's called egocentrism. It's kind of like this, crying out, it's all about me. And if we're not careful, that's how we live our lives. It's all about me. We only think about ourselves. And what happens is other people's needs and other people's feelings don't even cross our minds. And I want to let you know, guilty as charged, that's me. There's times in my life that the people closest to me, the things closest to me are crying out, and I'm here and I'm caught up into my agenda, where I need to be, what I need to do. And this happens, I think most of the time, this happens to those that we love the most, to those who live right under our own, in our homes with us, that we got so much going on. We have so much that we want to do, places we want to be. But here's the hard truth. If we're going to love like Jesus, it's not going to be efficient. It's not going to be convenient. It takes time to step aside from our own agenda-paced lives, our own agenda, the things we want to do and places we want to be. But if we're going to do this, it's going to require us that we lose control. There's going to be times where you're going to have to lose control of your schedule. By the way, does that make anyone nervous? I have something to do. I have agendas. I have a schedule. And you're asking me if I'm going to love like Jesus, then I'm going to have to step aside from my schedule. That makes a lot of us very nervous because we don't want to be sidetracked with another person. especially if it's a person who's not on our agenda for the day, okay? And that's what keeps us from being mindful is these agendas, all the things that we need to do. But if we're going to love like Jesus, we need to be able to abandon our schedules. We need to be able to hit the pause button and say, hey, Lord, I'm open to divine interruptions. I'm open to what's going on in other people's lives. And that's what we see in the story. We're going to read one more passage of Scripture today. So if you have your Bible, you can actually now turn to Luke chapter 10. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but we're going to take a different spin on it this morning. Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 37. It's called the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. The verses are on the screen. It says, a Jewish man was traveling, and he was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. So he was in bad shape. They stripped him of his clothes, and they beat him up, and they left him half dead beside the road. He was in desperation. By the way, there's a lot of people in our lives that are in bad shape. It may be physically, it may be emotional, it may be spiritual, it might be relational, but there's a lot of people that are hurting, okay? It says, by chance, there was a priest. He was wearing his clerical collar. He came along, but when he saw the man lying there, check out what he did. He crossed to the other side of the road and he passed by. Could it be because he had an agenda? Could it be because maybe he was on the way to the hospital to visit someone or he had a lunch appointment? And he's like, oh my goodness, this will take time. This will take time for me if I take care of this guy. So what we see here, could it be that he had an agenda? Verse 32, it says a temple assistant walked over. I mean, this guy even stopped and looked at him. He saw the scars. He saw that he was beat up. He saw that he was in bad shape. And he saw the guy lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. So he saw the need. He understood the need. But could it be he had an agenda? Could it be that he wasn't mindful because his mind was on all the other things going on, his work schedule, his to-do list, the things that were going on in his life, okay? Verse 33, then a despised Samaritan. By the way, Samaritans and Jews did not interact. They didn't like each other. But this despised Samaritan came along. I'm sure he had an agenda also. I'm sure he had things going on in his life. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion on the guy. Verse 34, going over to him, the Samaritan, he got involved. He soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and he took him to the inn where he took care of him. Verse 35, the next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. And if the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Verse 36, now which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. I want us to take this story in the context of our conversation this morning about making room for others, being mindful, stepping aside from our own agendas. And I like what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, hey, open your eyes and see what's going on in the lives of the people around you. Open your eyes long enough to see the needs of others. Even if you have a spiritual agenda like the priest and the Levites, he's saying, hey, even then, you need to step aside, hit the pause button so that you can begin to love like me. So I believe a big part of this parable could it be that Jesus is teaching, hey, you got to be mindful. There's hurting people all around. And some of them are as close as a spouse, a child, a family member. It could be somebody here at church. And the whole idea is, are you taking time to be mindful? So let me ask this question. Who do you identify with most in this story? Do you identify with the priest? Do you identify with the temple assistant? Or do you identify with the Samaritan? If you were to ask me most days, I'll just be very transparent. Most days, I'm not the Samaritan. Most days, I would be guilty of being like the priest, the Levite. Why? Because we all have very fast-paced, busy, busy lives. We're all chasing after our agenda, things that we feel like must be done, have to be done. Life won't go on unless these things are done. And we get so caught up into these things, and there's so many times that I'm just like the Samaritan, just too busy. And most of us would say, yes, I'm like the Samaritan. So here's the deal today. Our goal is to see a change, to see transformation in our relationships. So let me ask you this question. How can we be more mindful? How can we be more like this Samaritan? How can we love more like Jesus? So what I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to offer you just one simple suggestion, because how many people would like to say, I want to step up and be more mindful? Is there anybody in the room that wants to be more mindful? Come on, a lot of people over here. How about over here? Anybody more mindful? Yes, okay. So how can we be more mindful? We hear a sermon, I got to be more mindful. So how can we do this? This is what I'm going to suggest you do. I want to suggest for the next week that you do a very simple exercise, a very simple assignment. And that is that when you begin your day and throughout the day, that you simply pray this prayer. Lord, help me to be more mindful. Lord, help me to love like you. And how many people know I've discovered when I pray something, I'm more aware of my surroundings in that area, correct? So what I'm going to encourage you to do, I'm going to encourage all of us to pray the prayer, Lord, help me to be more mindful. Help me to be more attuned, aware of what's going on in the people's lives around me. And I want to let you know, if you will pray that prayer, you'll be amazed how many opportunities will come knocking. So if you don't want to be bothered, you're not going to pray this prayer, okay? But if you're open to say, Lord, I want to be more attuned, I want to be more mindful, I want to encourage you. And it may be that the greatest need is your spouse. The greatest need is one of your children. The greatest need is somebody at work that's crying out, that's hurting, that's beat up. It might be a friend. You know a friend that's going through a very difficult time right now. Maybe they're going through a broken relationship and they need you to be there. And what Jesus is calling for, he's calling for mindful people. Mindful people that will step out and be involved with other people's lives. And I want to let you know, if you'll pray, you'll be amazed how many opportunities are going to come your way this week. Are you ready for it? Say yes. Are you ready? If you don't want it, say no. Oh, don't do that. Because here's how it works. I was actually reading this book in preparation, and here's what happened. One day I was working in my office, and I don't like my office because it's just me. It's lonely. So a lot of times what I will do is I will take a break, and one of my favorite places to go breaking is actually Family Fresh. Can you believe that? That's the excitement of my life. Okay? Well, I like Family Fresh because they got this great area to visit with people, a great quiet place to just kind of just go and chill out. So one day, what I was going to do is I had this goal that I was going to go to Family Fresh for lunch, okay? And for lunch, I was going to go and I was going to make a salad at the salad bar. It was going to be awesome. And I took my book with me and I said, Lord, a great lunch will be eating this salad and reading my book. How many people love to read? I love to read. So I thought, Lord, that will be an awesome lunch, reading and eating a salad, okay? So I prepared my salad, got my book out, sat down at the table, and within 2 or 3 minutes, I could see somebody approaching me. You know when you can see people even when your head's down? And it was a young man, probably about 18 years old. And this kid came up, and he was holding his food. And there was an empty table next to me. And I thought for sure he was just going to say hi and go sit at his table. But interestingly enough, the first thing he said, do you mind if I join you? I want to let you know inside I was yelling, no, this is my agenda. I want to read the book. I want to eat the lunch. And you guys are looking at me like I'm an awful person, but you do this all the time. Maybe not, okay? But outward I said, yeah, sure, join me. So he sat down. And it was interesting because he was just about 3 weeks away from going into the Air Force. And if you know my history, I was in the Air Force. And I can remember those days and those weeks leading up to me going into the Air Force. They're kind of nervous. You're not sure what's going to happen, the unknown. So he started talking about, man, I'm only about 2 or 3 weeks away. He said, actually, in a few minutes, my recruiter's going to come in here. He's going to swear me in right there at Family Fresh. I was like, where's the dignity of that? I remember I stood in front of the flag. It was awesome. You're at Family Fresh. Wow, awesome. But anyway, and he started talking about that. And you could tell he was nervous. He was a little fearful. And I said, I called him by name. I said, hey, you got this. You got this. You are going to just blow it out of the water. You are a sharp young guy. This will be no problem. You got this. And you could just tell his countenance began to change. So it's times like that when we're mindful of others and we hit the pause button and we step out of our agenda, could it be that God wants to use us all the time to meet people in their place of need, to meet people where they're hurting? And see, people pray this prayer all the time, God, use me. And I think sometimes when we pray these prayers, God, use me, I think we're thinking, Lord, God, send me to Africa. Send me to Honduras. Send me overseas somewhere. And could it be that God's saying, yeah, I want to use you. We're in agreement with that. But could it be that God wants to use you right where you live today? There's people that are hurting. There's people who are living with disappointment, with scars, with pain. And you know what? A missionary is probably not going to come from overseas to visit them. But could it be that God wants to use you? We have that card this morning. I gave you the card last week. Could it be that God wants to use you to touch one of these three people? And he's going to give you an opportunity. But if your life is fast-paced and busy, and you have this agenda, you're going to miss it. I miss it all the time. But hopefully this series will help us all to step out. Okay? And here's what I've discovered. If we're going to impact people and we're going to love like Jesus, we're just going to have to learn to hit the pause button, for folks. Amen? I mean, I know you feel important. I feel important. But you know what? Our agenda is not going to change. A lot of times, isn't going to change the world. And sometimes all you got to do is, maybe this week, sometime you're just going to have to slap your hand like you have a pause button. And you're going to have to set aside your agenda so that you can be mindful of something that's going on in somebody else's life. No one else sees it, but God may want to use you to make a difference in their lives. So here's what I want to do. I want to close in two prayers. The first prayer I want to close with this morning is this prayer, Lord, help all of us to be more mindful. Lord, help us to be mindful of family members. Help us to be mindful of friends. Help us to be mindful of coworkers. So can we pray this together? Can we all bow our heads? I think it's safe to assume that as we pray this, God is probably going to put a mind in your mind, a picture of someone, an image, a name. It might be the person that comes into the office and annoys you, just crying out for attention, and you always have your agenda. I know I'm a very agenda-driven person. I hate to admit it. And sometimes the people that suffer most are the people in my own family. And I have a feeling I'm not the only one. I mean, these people that walk across our paths every day, the people that we say we love and we're so thankful that are in our lives. So can we pray together? Can we do that together and say amen? Let's pray right now. Lord, help us to be more mindful. Help us to be more aware of the needs of others and the things that other people are going through. Help us to be more aware of the divine appointments that you place in our lives. Lord, help us to have the ability to hit the pause button and to focus our attention, take our focus from our list and put our focus on that person. Lord, help us. Help us. I just want to get just one layer deeper this morning. I can't help but think how many times we miss out on what God wants to do in our lives. Do you believe God wants to do something in your life? I do. I believe that for every one of us. But I think one thing that happens is we all have this to-do list. We all have this agenda. We all have the things that we're racing after. We're so busy. We're so busy. We're so consumed with things. And I really believe there's so many times that God's calling after us and we're missing it because we're not mindful of him. Does that make sense? We're not mindful of him. And I want to pray that we'll take time to push the pause button and put our agenda on hold so that we can spend time with him each and every day. Because I believe there's things that God wants to impart to you. He wants to share with you. He wants to be there for you. But your agenda is too busy for even God himself. So, Father, we come before you this morning, and we pray that we would be mindful of your presence, that we would be mindful of you, that we would pause and put aside our agenda to make time for the Creator of the universe, our Savior, our God. We want to be mindful of our spouse. We want to be mindful of our children. We don't want to miss things in their life because we're so preoccupied with our agenda. And everyone together said, amen. I do. I really want to encourage you today. James says, don't be just people who hear the word, then they leave and they're forgetful. I want to challenge you this week. Is everybody looking at me real quick? Don't worry about any other movement. Look at me real quick. I want to challenge you this week to say, I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to be intentional this week like never before to be mindful of God and those people closest to me.